Psalms, the first psalm, 6 verses. I've titled today's topical teaching, Characteristics of the Successful Believer. Characteristics of the Successful Believer. You know, there's a lot of different ways that we can measure success, worldly success. Oh, among them there's wealth, there's power, and there's position, maybe the prestige that someone has. Those are all indicators of a worldly success. But you see, measuring our spiritual success is a little bit more difficult. Often, there's little that's tangible, little visible evidence which you can really put your hands on to prove that you're living a successful Christian life. Usually, those things are more internal than external. And when we look at that, as a believer, it's usually just a small amount of external. That's why it's difficult for God's children who live in this materialistic world the way that we do. We live in this world that is even more materialistic, it seems like, day after day after day, to really gauge our walk with Jesus Christ. But that's why I'm glad that this psalm exists. I'm glad that this psalm is really the doorway into all the psalms. You see, we find insight in this psalm, these 6 verses, of what really makes a successful believer. As we look at some scriptures today, and I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. You won't have time to turn them all this morning, but if you're taking notes, and I hope that you are, I hope that you'll take some notes home with you this morning. As you go to your devotional time this week, you can look up some of these verses and get in deeper with them. As we look at the characteristics of a successful believer. Follow along as I read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. And you can circle that word blessed and put down, oh, how happy. Oh, how happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and wherever he and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We'll look at 3 different things this morning that really talk about what is a successful believer. Number one, what is the path? What is the path of a successful believer? Well, a successful believer is separated in the way of his walk of his life. See, he doesn't believe like the wicked. He doesn't listen to their counsel. He doesn't listen to their counsel as an invitation to evil. His hearing is turned a little bit higher. As a successful believer, we're tuned in to something a little bit different. We see, we don't behave like the wicked. You know, some people may have a BC, a before Christ testimony. I don't have that. I was saved at a very young age when I was about 7 years old. My sister led me to the Lord in our home. I can still remember it today. But you see, there are people, even here in this church this morning, that have that BC testimony, that way that before they became to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it this way. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. You see, that's what it's talking about here, that BC time. The old life has been put away. There's a new life, you see. That's the path of a successful believer. We have put away the old, and we put on the new. The old man has been put away forever. And also, he doesn't belong to the wicked. You see, he feels out of place when he's surrounded by the wrong crowd. When I worked in corporate America many years ago, I had to travel some, and I would go out to different places for trade shows. And, you know, you'd work the trade show during the day, but then at night you had your free time. And I was always with a group of guys, and they always went out to places that, well, I didn't want to go. And I'm sure there was some scorning and some laughter behind my back, but that was okay because I knew that I wasn't supposed to go to the places where they were going to go. Pastor Ken has often talked about his brother's bachelor party, about how he didn't go to that because he felt out of place. He had just become a Christian. And he said, no, I'm not going to be part of that. You see, that's what it's talking about, the path of a successful believer. We don't go into those places that we shouldn't go. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says there, therefore come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. That's pretty clear that we are not supposed to spend time in the places where we're not supposed to be. Are we going to be in the world as believers? Absolutely. Are we to be out there spreading the gospel and encouraging people? Without a doubt. But you see, we're not supposed to hang out in those places. The path of the successful believer. What is the pleasure then of the successful believer? What is the success, the pleasure of the successful believer? The successful believer is genuinely and completely in love with the Word of God. The Word of God. You see, the Word of God has captured the successful believer's full attention. The delight of a believer equals pleasure. That's where we're at. The Word of God isn't, it's not that book of fables and myths and legend to the child of God. It's the very Word of truth. It's the Word of truth. It's God-breathed. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's absolutely perfect. As a believer, we're to love it and to live it, finding in its pages all that we need to grow and prosper for Jesus. When you buy that new car, you get that manual that comes with that new car. And if you don't read through that manual and really see all the gadgets that are in that new car, you probably are going to miss out. Like me, I usually take the manual, I stuff it in the glove box, and then when something breaks, I ask my wife, pull the manual out so I know what that little red light means. But you see, the Word of God is exactly like that. Oh, we're to take the Word of God and use it for those directions in our life each and every day. So that when those little red lights go off around us, we don't have to, oh, what does that mean? We know because we've studied the Bible. We've been in the Word. The Word of God is to be that instruction manual in our lives. So what is the Word of God to be to us? Well, I'm going to give you quite a few different things, and I hope you write these down, because there's a lot of verses here in the next few minutes that we're going to look at. Number one, the value of the Word, it's food for our souls. Matthew 4:4 says this, but Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, the scriptures are food for our soul. That's also milk for the baby. 1 Peter 2:2 says it like this, little, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. You see, as new believers, we're going to feed off that milk. We're going to be into the Word. We're new creatures in Christ. And we're craving that Word, that milk, so that we can grow into those full experiences that's in the gospel. The full experience of our salvation. We're to cry out for that. Jesus, help me to understand, as that new believer, as we read the Word, we ask Jesus to help us to clarify the words as we go through the Bible. We cry out for that. It gives the baby Christian everything that he needs to grow up strong and healthy. So it needs to be prepared and serve just right. And we're to be in the Word on a regular basis. Hebrews 5:12 through 14 says this, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." You see, as we get into the Word, as we use that Bible as our instruction manual, now we find out what's right and wrong on that pathway to being that successful believer. What else do we do? Well, we have Bible studies to help us on that path. We have prayer groups. You know, we have a prayer group here that meets 15 minutes before each service and prays for this service, prays for our church, prays for you. We've got people right now praying in the sanctuary for you right now as we go around that in-service prayer support group that we have. They're praying for you right now. Maybe you're going through that difficult time. They're lifting you up in prayer. We have prayer groups. We have regular Sunday and Wednesday meetings when we come here and we sing and we worship and we get into the Word. We have personal devotion and prayer time. I hope that you have that. I hope that you have that. We can read Christian books. Pastor Ken is always bugging me. "Ron, what are you reading?" And you can't say, "Oh, I'm reading the Bible," because he'll say, "Oh, that's good." But what else are you reading? What are you reading this morning? What are you reading to help you get that deeper Christian walk? What are you reading? It's food. It's milk for the baby. It's meat for growing. You see, it's bread for everyone. John 6:51 says this, "I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread which I offer so the world may live is my flesh." You see, bread is the staple food of the world. No matter where you go, people need the bread of life, just like we need the bread of life. The Word is the bread of life for us. But you see, it's also honey for those in need. Psalm 19:10 says this, "They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even dripping from the comb." Just look at the way that the Word nourishes our life through food, milk, meat, bread, honey for our souls. Nothing has the power to encourage us as the Word of God. But you see, it's also light. It's light. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I love that verse because I know that it's a light for where I'm standing. But I know that that path down this way may not be straight. It may go this way for a while, and it may go this way. But you see, the Word is a lamp to our path, and it gives us that path to go down. As we go through those difficult times in life, as we go through those times when we need guidance, the Word does that. It guides us and directs us. You see, it's also truth. Truth. John 17:17 says, "Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth." We know that the Bible is in the infallible Word of God. It's truth, and we can hold on to it. We know the promises are true, whatever's in the Scriptures. The promises are true. It's also like a mirror. You see, the Word is like a mirror. James 1:23-25 says, "For if you listen to the Word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. Oh, you see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." Isn't that a strange verse? You look in the mirror in the morning like I do, and I want to forget what I see. But the Word says when you look in the mirror, you got to remember. You got to remember what you read. That's why we're reading it. Look carefully that sets you free. And if you do what it says, Don't forget what you've heard. Don't forget what you just saw in the mirror. Do what you just read to walk and be that successful Christian. Oh, you see, it's also water. The word is like water. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27 says this, "For husband, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be homely and without fault." Isn't that a beautiful verse? To make her holy and clean. You see, the water, the word, washes us clean. It washes us clean. You see, in Ephesians 5, 26, it talks about it cleanses. To make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. As we read through the word, it cleanses us. It gives us those new beliefs, those new things that we need to know to work in the world today. It's a difficult world out there. It's a world that is against many of the things that we believe in. We see that each and every day. The water cleanses and it shows us. The word cleanses. But you see, the word also quenches and refreshes. Oh, it quenches and refreshes. John 4, 13 through 14. Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Isn't that a beautiful picture, that bubbling spring? You know, when we build pools nowadays, a lot of times in the shallow end, on the big step, we put this little bubbler, and it bubbles up the water. The kids love to play in it. But it's a great-looking feature. You sit over there, and you watch this water just bubbling up, and it's just so refreshing-looking. You see, that's what the Word does. It refreshes, it quenches, because it's that bubbling spring within us. You see, when we're in the Word and we put the Word inside of us, that Word comes out, and it bubbles out of us like that refreshing spring. We're sharing with others the good news. You see, it's also a seed. The Word is also a seed. 1 Peter 1:23. It says, "For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God." The Word is a seed that we put in our heart. We have that seed in our heart. We're going to have eternal life. We are going to, spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Are you ready for that? Jesus is coming soon, folks. We can see the signs. We can see them. Are you ready? But most importantly, are you telling others? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you planting those seeds? Yesterday at convalescent care, we had a man come in. He's a Jewish man. And he comes in every now and then. When he comes in, he sits and listens intently. We're praying for him. I wish you would pray for him. His name is Henry. Because Henry needs to accept Jesus Christ. We've asked him over and over, and he just won't give in. But he sits and listens to the message. Pray that his heart will be unhardened. We had our closing prayer yesterday as we were leaving, and we always form a prayer circle with all our volunteers. And Henry was there still, and Henry gave us a final blessing in Hebrew. And it was such a beautiful thing because what he said was that God, the Almighty God, blesses us. I felt like saying to him, "Henry, you got to give your life to Jesus." But he just isn't quite there. Pray for Henry. Pray for Henry that he'll give his life over. It's a seed. Are you planting seeds? Oh, you may never see those seeds sprout, but you're planting seeds. Someone else may come by and water it. Someone else may come by and lead that person to Jesus Christ. Plant those seeds. Plant those seeds. You see, the word is also a sword. Hebrews 4:12 says it this way, "For the word of God is alive and powerful." Did you hear that? That ought to make us stand up and shout. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Does the Word do that when you look at it, when you read the Word? Is it exposing your innermost thoughts and desires? Ephesians 6:17 says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Is the Word of God your sword out there this morning? But you see, the Word of God is also a hammer, and not a small hammer. It's like a sledgehammer. Oh, you see, Jeremiah 23:29 says this, does not my word burn like a fire, says the Lord? It's not like a mighty hammer. Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? The Word of God is like that powerful hammer that we have inside of us. If we know it, if we're studying it, if the Word is living inside of us, it's that hammer that's there for us. You see, the Word can build up. Proverbs 16:24 says this, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Do you encourage others with those kind words? Do you go to others that are hurting and say, let me pray for you. Let me lift you up in prayer right now. Do you use those kind words? But you see, it can also tear down. Revelations 2:16 says, repent of your sin, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Repent of your sin. And finally, it's a fire. The Word of God is like a fire. Jeremiah 20, verse number 9. But if I speak, I'll never mention the Lord. But if I say, I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, excuse me, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. Is that what it's like this morning when you read the Word of God? You're so excited you can't hold it in. It's like that fire that's got to come out. It's burning in your soul. Oh, I pray that it is. I pray that this morning, that to be that successful believer, that we are in love with the Word of God. Somebody posted on Facebook yesterday, I don't know who it was, but it said, what if we treated our Bible like we do our cell phone? Oh, we never leave the house anymore without a cell phone, and we're never too far away from our cell phone. What if we treated the Bible like that? And we kept the Bible close by, and we read it, and we were always looking at it. We were out to dinner the other night, and I was sitting next to my daughter. And it never goes well when I sit next to my daughter because we always go after each other, you know, just the way it is. But it's friendly. And I saw her. She was on her phone doing this at dinner. We were sitting there. I looked over, and I said, really? You got a text during dinner? And she said, Dad, I was looking up something for you on the internet. You know how big I felt? I felt like that big, you know. She's always, do we treat our Bible like our phones, that we're always carrying them and got them close to us? Is it that fire that's in our bones? Do you love the Word like you should? Has the Word captured our full attention? Has it become that standard for our faith and for our practice? You see, every thought, every move, every decision should be made with this book. Oh, it's okay to think outside the box, folks. When we think outside the box, sometimes we get some good ideas. But remember, it's okay to think outside the box, but don't think outside the Bible. Think outside the box, but don't think outside the Bible. Let the Bible direct us. Let the Bible guide and direct us. I've seen that so many times here at our church through Pastor Ken. When we were going through trying to find a location for the radio station or a location for the antenna, we waited. We looked at God's Word. Second Timothy 2:15 says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. How do we correctly explain the word of truth? Well, we have to be in the word. We have to be studying the word. We have to know the word. You see, the psalmist in Psalm number 1 declares that the successful believer, he spends his days and night in pursuit of what's in the word. Does the Bible fill your thoughts? Do you find yourself consumed with it? Number 3, the prosperity of the successful believer. You see, the promises of verses 3 through 6 are conditional. Let me read those again for you. Verses 3 through 6. It says, he shall be planted like a tree, planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When we live separated lives and feed our souls and our lives on the word of God, you see, then we can expect those things that are talked about to happen. Where are those trees? Well, they're by the river. Our home is on a canal. And down by that canal, there's always bushes and there's trees. And even in the times of drought, those trees and bushes flourish. Why? Because they have a water source very close to them. And you see, that's what we're talking about here, by the river. Our tree planted by the river is never dry and it's never wilted, but it's green, it's lovely. The believer who lives close to God, well, we're never going to be dry. We're never going to be wilted either. Are you living close to God this morning? Are you walking close to him? Are we living that lively and productive life for Jesus Christ? Are we serving him? You see, the droughts of life, those dry seasons, are going to come. But if our tree is planted by the river, there's always that moisture, that water that we can consume. Acts 4:13 says this, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. If you know that story in the book of Acts, Peter and John were brought up for teaching, but the people could see that they knew the word. They were just ordinary men. But you see, they knew the word. They had studied the word. Are we knowing the word? Are we studying the word so that we're prepared when we go out? You see, unlike some plants that live for just that season and then die out, we're that tree that lives here on earth and then in eternity forever. We have that hidden source of life. We have that source of life in the Word. We have that private prayer. We have that Bible study. We want to be planted near the Word of God. We want to be planted in the Word of God. We want to bring forth fruit. The successful believer is a blessing to all those around him because his fruit is plentiful. As I watched everybody this morning, setting up. Those that came at 9 o'clock this morning, setting up, getting things ready here, getting things ready in the cafe for you to enjoy in a few minutes, getting ready over in children's ministry. You see, those people are here because they want to be. They want to serve Jesus. And I thank each and every one of them that come and serve. Because that's the fruit in their life. They're serving Jesus Christ through their service here at the church. John 7:38 says, anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. That's what the service is, those rivers of living water pouring out. Those that come early to pray, the rivers of water pouring out. We may never know. You know, you can look at an old apple tree in a pasture. And that old apple tree may have been in that pasture for many, many, many years. But think about what that apple tree has done. It has fed the cattle that's in the field. It's fed the birds. The apples have been picked. It's fed people. It's fed even insects that are in the tree. See, we never know when we're out there spreading those seeds, being faithful to spreading the gospel, who we're touching. We never know. We may never know. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water flow from our heart. Are those rivers flowing from your heart this morning? You see, though, that tree that we think about bearing fruit, there are seasons of bearing fruit and there are seasons of rest and growth. I've been through that. I had a season of rest several years ago before we made our way here. We had been serving, and the Lord said, Ron, I want you just to step back for a while. I want you just to rest and be fed. And we did that. And then we were called here to Calvary Pompano. Sometimes there's those seasons of rest and growth. We're not to worry over the fruit. That's Jesus' business. He produces the fruit. When everything else is it should be, you see, that fruit will come within the season of our life. John 15:1-5 says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. That's when those times of season and rest that we're in sometimes, those branches are pruned off, and we bloom even more after that. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, I will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Are you hooked into the vine this morning? Are you hooked into Jesus Christ? Are you a part of that vine? Has he pruned you a little bit? Sometimes that pruning hurts. Sometimes that pruning hurts. Has he pruned you lately? Are you producing the fruit that he has called you to produce? A successful believer is like that evergreen tree, always surrounded by the green of life. Even evergreens in the winter, other trees around it are bare and have gone away. But you see, the evergreen tree is green and it's beautiful. Unaffected by winter or the weather. Always the same. You see, that's where our lives should be. Our lives should be full of consistency. Are your lives consistent this morning in the way that you're following Jesus? Are you becoming that successful believer? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. I love that verse because it says, be strong and immovable. And I think about being anchored when those winds come. And they will come. The tough times will come. But are we anchored down so that when they come that we're still strong in Jesus Christ? A successful believer is consistent when those curveballs of life, when those times of life, those storms of life come to knock us off course. You see, we're strong and immovable. I love the scripture where The disciples are in the boat. Jesus is in the back of the boat. The storm comes. They're all panicking, but Jesus is back there. He didn't leave the boat. He didn't jump out and leave and say, I'm leaving you in this storm. No, he stayed right there with them and went through the storm and calmed the waters. You see, when you go through the storms of life, Jesus will be right there with you. He will not leave you. He's made that promise. God will bless the successful believer. He'll bless his personal life, his family life, his business life, his church life, his spiritual life will all be blessed by the Lord. And again, I'm not saying there's not going to be stormy seas, because we know there will be. But we know that when we go through those difficult times, that Jesus is going to be there with us. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have the characteristics of that successful believer? In verse number 1, it says, you are blessed. And we know that means, oh, how very, very happy. Are you happy this morning in Jesus Christ? Are you encouraged about your walk with him today? Are you excited about your walk with him? Are you ready to go out and share the good news with someone today? If Jesus puts someone in front of you today that's having a tough time, that needs to know about Jesus, are you willing to say, I know the answer. I can show you the path. Are you prepared for that? We're not all evangelists, I know that. But we can pray for folks, and we can be there for folks that need to know Jesus. Are you ready? Are you that successful believer today? Are you in the Word? Do you love him like he wants us to love him? Oh, I hope so. I hope so. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for this scripture, this simple psalm of 6 verses, Father. But it has so much in it about how we are to believe and how we are to walk and how we are to behave and what we're supposed to do. Father, I thank you for this word, and I thank you for the time that we've been able to just look into it this morning. Help us this week as we go out, as we leave these doors, as we leave these grounds, as we enter the mission field this morning. Father, help us to be able to share. Help us to be able to be there for others. Help us to be able to pray with other folks when we can pray. Help us to get more into the Word, to just live on the Word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you once again for this time here this morning. As we leave in just a few minutes, I pray for safety for each one as we head home and through the week. I pray that you'd watch over us and protect us. Once again, be with those that are sick and not feeling well. Protect them. For we ask it in your precious, in your holy name. Amen. Amen.